Grace, mercy, peace be to you from God our Father, from our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Neither the sexually immoral, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor men who practice homosexuality, nor thieves, nor the greedy, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor swindlers will inherit the kingdom of God. And such were some of you. But you were washed. You were sanctified. You were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of our God. Do not be deceived, Paul says. Three scenes, three deceptions. First, my family and I are on vacation last year. It's at the time when the Episcopal Church has decided to install an openly gay priest as bishop. The media and publicity are intense. The pastor decides to have a sermon at the church we attend while on vacation on homosexuality. He begins that sermon by saying, we simply cannot respond by saying, yuck, that's gross. It's not a helpful response by the church. Oh, we may feel that way. It is certainly a powerful emotional reaction to homosexuality for many of us. But it's not very helpful. People can simply say, yeah, to our yuck, or great, to our gross. And you have an emotional standoff. Little, if anything, is accomplished. Scene two. This year on vacation, my family and I are taking a few minutes before we go out for the day, and I turn on the TV. I start surfing through 89 different channels. On one station, two men are sitting next to each other having a conversation. I pause for just a minute to see what's going on. The next thing I know, these two men are kissing each other. I don't think so. I'm on vacation. I don't want to deal with this. Switch the station, out of mind, out of sight. But again, not very helpful. Turning aside, not wanting to deal with it, accomplishes little, if anything. Number three, a few months ago, I was preaching for a Saturday late afternoon service. A wedding was scheduled after that service, and some of the wedding party was in attendance for the regular Saturday afternoon worship. This was at the time when same-sex marriages had become intense publicly and in the media. So I mentioned in the sermon that afternoon, Rosie O'Donnell standing on the courthouse steps in San Francisco with her now lesbian spouse. But I do so with a touch of sarcasm, a bite to the words, an edge. After the service, the pastor comes up to me and says, did you see the two men sitting up front? They're here for the wedding. They live together in an openly gay relationship. And then he adds, I don't think they're coming back. Again, little, if anything, is accomplished when a response turns people away. Three scenes, three deceptions. Gut reaction, turning aside, biting sarcasm. Little, if anything, is done. How does the church respond to the challenge of homosexuality? In my homiletics classes, I tell my students that when it comes to God's judgment on sin, the condemnation of the law for disobedience, when it comes to warning people that they're in danger of not inheriting the kingdom of God, that we do so out of love and concern, not gleefully. We do so out of love and concern. I haven't always done so well with that. But look at the Apostle Paul. The Apostle Paul, out of love and concern, is uncompromising. He calls sin, sin. And he does not turn aside. He will deal with it. But he deals with it out of love and concern for people. You see, at the basic, most simplest level, Paul says, those who practice homosexuality will not inherit the kingdom of God. Neither will the greedy, the sexually immoral, idolaters, adulterers, thieves, swindlers, and slanderers. But today, our ears are focused on homosexuality. And we hear that those who openly persist in homosexual behavior will not inherit the kingdom of God. And Paul's deepest desire is that no one experience the horrors of that punishment. He simply will not turn aside from the havoc this sin or any other sin brings to people's lives. He will not let us turn aside from the pain this or any other sin brings to people's lives. Out of love and concern, he simply names sin and how it excludes from the kingdom of God. But that is not all Paul does. Yes, out of love and concern, he takes us to the judgment of the law. But out of love and concern, he also takes us to Jesus. You were washed. You were sanctified. You were justified, he says. In this way, homosexuality is no different than any other sin. You simply go to Jesus. You go to Jesus to be washed in his blood at our baptism. Whatever sin, a poor response, homosexuality, anything that would make us gross in God's eyes, anything that would bring a yuck from his lips, has been washed clean by Jesus. We go to Jesus to be sanctified. Sanctified means you are set apart, not set aside out of mind. Oh, God did set someone out of sight, out of mind. On a lonely hill called Golgotha, Jesus cries out, my God, why have you forsaken me? The true Son of God is set aside out of God's sight, out of the kingdom of God, to set us apart as his holy people, as his own. We were sanctified. You go to Jesus to be justified. When Jesus walked this world, he welcomed adulterers, idolaters, thieves, slanderers, swindlers, out of love and concern. He ate with sinners and tax gatherers. A thief on the cross was promised paradise. You go to Jesus to be right with God. When he comes out of that grave on Easter morning, the cross is given its power and we are justified in the sight of God. How does the church respond? Yes, out of love and concern, we take people to the sin, but out of love and concern, we take them to Jesus. Gut reaction, turning aside, biting sarcasm just won't do. We go to Jesus. We go to Jesus by the Spirit of our holy God. Now, that is not all that we do. That is not the only response the church has. Read on in 1 Corinthians, and you'll see that Paul has much to say about sex, marriage, passion, the order of creation, how we live in this whole civic realm. This symposium will give us much guidance on those very matters. Resources on sex and marriage and instruction and the public realm, the voice of the church, catechesis, preaching. And we need that help. I mean, when you break an arm, You don't just say, I'm going to go to pastor for forgiveness and leave it at that. You go to the hospital, you have the arm set, you put a cast on, and it heals. If you're having emotional difficulties, you just don't go to confession and absolution. You also seek out a counselor and draw upon the resources that are also available in this created realm for stability. The same with homosexuality. You simply don't say, Jesus forgives you, and leave it at that. You learn all that you can do, and in wisdom you go and do out of love and concern for people. In the winter 2004 Leadership Journal, Mario Bergner writes of a young man who had twice asked for healing from homosexuality. The man is now at Boston City Hospital. He is being tested for AIDS after 12 months of declining health and 2 years of being active homosexually in New York City. Around his neck is a cross with the face of Jesus, the last vestige of his faith. And a nurse asks him to take it off for the body scan. And he hesitates. He prays once again. Oh Lord, what have I done? I sought you out at age 14 and again at 18, but neither time did I receive the healing I needed to be free from homosexuality. Why, Lord? And this time the answer came. The young man, actually Mario Bergner himself, the author of the article, says that he saw before him two roads, one leading to death and one leading to life. And he simply says, by God's grace, I am now married and the father of four children, an Episcopal priest leading people to healing from the homosexual lifestyle. By God's grace. And he finishes that article by saying, the church and his pastor responded in a powerfully positive way. Listen, the pastor who ministered to me after I left the homosexual lifestyle showed me that pastors don't have to pretend to know it all. He treated me with respect and love while still challenging me and teaching me to pray with a depth I never had before. We're here because we were washed, made clean by Jesus. We're here because we are sanctified, set apart to be God's holy people. We are here because we were justified in the resurrection of Jesus Christ, right with God. We are here because out of love and concern for people, we simply will do what we need to do so that the pain and the havoc can be avoided in people's lives. And we're here this morning because out of love and concern, we need to respond by taking people to Jesus. We need to respond by going straight to Jesus.